For years, questions have come up about the conduct of some members of the Nevada University System's Board of Regents. Here's a partial list of some of that conduct. In 2018, then-UNLV President Len Jessup quit, citing tension between him and the board. 2019, reports emerged that then-regent Kevin Page tried to force UNLV to let a relative skip requirements needed to attend Lee Business School. 2021, Regent Byron Brooks carried a firearm into a meeting with then-Chancellor Melody Rose. She said she had already been antagonized by him. Rose later resigned and was paid severance of $610,000. Earlier this year, Regent Patrick Boylan was criticized for calling transgender athletes men masquerading as women. And 2 weeks ago, Regent Stephanie Goodman posted a video clip that made reference to Republican criticism of Kamala Harris' ethnicity and voice. Goodman was criticized as being racist. She said it was a personal account, and she apologized. Again, for years, the regents have been beset by controversy. A ballot question this fall could diminish their power. It's ballot question one. And today we have those speaking for and against that question. First, Jim New. He's president of the Nevada Faculty Alliance, which recently decided to come out in favor of the ballot question. Jim, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, Jim. What exactly, just for the listeners, what would this question do if voters approved it?
Question one would remove the status of the Board of Regents from the Nevada Constitution. And if my understanding is correct, it could also trigger an internal audit of the board's financial operations.
Okay, so that internal audit, again, you're correct in that. It would require a biennial independent audits of the NC's budget. The legislature, though, already approves that budget. Why would that audit then be needed?
Well, NC has different sources of funding. For example, we get an allocation from the state legislature in the bienniums. However, we also have revenue coming in from student fees and other sources of funding, such as rental properties and other self-supporting budgets. The Board of Regents has neglected to manage those budgets very well. And there is a suspicion in the legislature that there is more money available to NC than is being currently reported. I'm not sure how true that is. However, I will say that the accounting for those funds is fairly loose.
Okay. You know, as part of this question as well, as you mentioned, it would take the Board of Regents out of the Constitution. How would that impact their power, their oversight, their sway here in the state?
Well, immediately, we don't anticipate that there would be a significant impact. The Board of Regents would continue to exist as the governing board over higher education in Nevada. And there are already existing state laws, as well as the constitutional status of the board that exists to form the board. So it does open the board up for additional reformation in the future from the legislature. And we anticipate that that may take place years down the road. But we have assurances from legislators that no action toward reformation would be taken until there has been a robust and deliberate comprehensive study of how the board or how higher ed should be governed in the state. The Nevada Faculty Alliance does support a centralized governing board. And we hope that that will continue. And we have worked with legislators to guarantee the faculty will be at the table when they conduct that study.
A lot of states, almost every state, does have a centralized board of regents who oversees higher education. Many of those, though, at some of the largest universities are appointed by the governor. I wonder if you think those future, well, actually, let me just put it this way. Why do you favor this question one?
Well, question one doesn't automatically determine that the board will be appointed, that the board will be replaced. That's all, you know, up to the future legislatures. However, I come from a system. I've been in Nevada nearly 30 years now, but I started my career in a system where the board was appointed. That was Utah. And there were laws in place to ensure that the board remained balanced. One of the laws was that the governor's party could only have a one-seat majority on the Board of Regents. Therefore, it was a very balanced board, especially when you consider how ruby red Utah really is. The state of Nevada has that libertarian streak, and they're hesitant to give up their voting rights on anything. However, the Board of Regents elections tend to be kind of, I hate to say, low information for the voters. However, many voters really are not aware of who or what they're voting for when they vote for a regent in their district. And if you look past the over the last 20 years or so, you'll see that the person whose name appears first on the ballot in over 80% of the cases is the person who is elected to the position. There's also a very low bar for who qualifies to become a regent. You only have to live in the district, and you don't even have to have any prior experience with higher education, even as a student. And that's reflected in our current board right now. So we hope that through this, through question one, we can strengthen things like the qualifications to be a member of the board, additional training to ensure that our board members are well versed in the operations of higher education, that they understand the principles of academic freedom and shared governance, and that they can do the best job possible for the students in the state of Nevada.
And that's Jim New, president of the Nevada Faculty Alliance. Now with us is Robin Titus, Nevada State Republican Senator for District 17. Senator, well, thanks for joining us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to have a voice at the table.
Great. Senator Titus, why do you oppose question one?
Well, thanks for that question. I am adamantly opposed to question one. I know your faculty that just spoke. I think there's some naivety going on there about the ability for them to have a voice at the table. This ballot question was on the ballot in 2020, and thank goodness the citizens voted it now down. Then those legislators who from Clark County who wanted to change it so that they could have a little bit more power over the university system made it a legislative process and put it on the ballot without, and now they have to go to a voice of vote of the people. Back in, I will tell you my connection with the University of Nevada. My grandmother graduated from University of Nevada, Reno, in 1912. I graduated there with my undergraduate degree, my medical degree. My daughter graduated from there, and hopefully my grandchildren will be going to the University of Nevada system. It's a long, in 1864, we became a land grants school. That is why it's in our Constitution. When you open up your statement on this program, you mentioned that there's been some concern about some of the Board of Regents starting in 2017.
Sure.
We don't change a whole system in our Constitution because there's people that have flaws. We have legislators who are in jail over misuse of
Yeah.
funds, and we don't throw out the legislators. So I just want to make it really clear what the reality of what this vote does. Having the citizens elect the Board of Regents is critical to the process. Our whole academic process has become more and more politicized, and now this will go potentially to what happens in the legislature. I've been there 6 terms, and I would not want to see us take over control of our Board of Regents and the university system.
Why?
Well, for all the things I just said, it is a political process. It is a political process, and those now the voice has shifted. Majority of citizens live in Clark County.
What?
We now have we in the last legislative process, we changed the number of regents to reflect the number where people live. So there's currently 13 regents. People get to vote for those people who represent the university. If you want the legislature or potentially the governor to appoint these and not vote, who would want to give up a vote? I'm very surprised that the faculty is willing to go to through that process.
If this were did become if the result of a vote on question one would eventually, and again, it has to be approved twice, not just this fall, but again 2 years after that, in order for it to actually take place, but it could result
No,
in
you're
change.
wrong.
No, oh, I am wrong.
wrong.
Okay,
You are
please
wrong.
correct me on that.
This is a Senate
Oh,
joint resolution. It
oh.
passed two sessions. This becomes law now. And that's they went through the back door, the folks who are supportive of this. It failed on the ballot question initially in 2020. People did not want to see it fail. So then they passed it through Senate Joint Resolution number 7. It passed in 81st session, and then it passed in last session. So it's passed twice now. It's on the ballot. So it
So
only
this is
needs
it.
one vote. That
One
is it.
vote.
Yeah, there's a significant difference between legislative resolutions and constitutional initiatives. Constitutional initiatives, we have two on the ballot. We actually have three on the ballot this time. And they have to go be voted on twice. It's a petition of the people. So number 3, number 6, number 7 had to be on the ballot through a petition of the
Yeah.
people.
Jim New
They
said
really have to
earlier,
pass.
let me get to one last question. We have a minute left. Jim New said earlier that if down the road it does pass and they wanted to restructure how the board is made up, that it would go to the faculty, it would have a lot more input. He's, even then, if it had to be a board that had a pretty equal number of politically motivated people, Republican, Democrat, would you favor that?
Absolutely not. Listen, this bill needs this question needs to fail. He's naive if he thinks he's going to have a vote. He may be at the table, but the faculty will not have a vote in this process. Be very careful about removing what they are the authority they already have. This does not help them whatsoever and puts it more political, if anything else.
I really want to thank Senator Robin Titus, District 17, and Jim New, President of the Nevada Faculty Alliance, and he's a professor at Truckee Meadows Community College.